Well,
here's the verdict on the AIG bailout. It's poisoned the marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Bill Radke. A congressional watchdog is blasting the government's 2008 rescue of insurance giant AIG today. The Bush administration signed off on the plan, which was engineered by Timothy Geithner, now President Obama's Treasury Secretary. The Congressional Oversight Panel says the $182 billion bailout distorted financial markets by sending the message that taxpayers will pay any price and bear any burden to prevent the collapse of America's largest financial institutions. Joining me now is Harvard Professor Elizabeth Warren, who chairs the panel that issued this report. Good morning.
Good morning.
We've heard a lot of philosophical debate about the risk of creating a moral hazard with these bailouts. Now your panel says that's exactly what the result has been. But I wonder if arriving at that conclusion isn't something like what Justice Potter Stewart said when the Supreme Court ruled on obscenity, hard to define, but I know it when I see it. Or do you see this as more clear cut?
No, actually, I think this one is a lot more clear cut. Remember even what happened in Bear Stearns when the New York Fed and the Treasury were able to lend money to J.P. Morgan Chase so that it could purchase Bear Stearns, but very important private participation in that. When we hit the AIG problem, there's a real moral hazard when you say the government does an entire rescue, funds it all, and puts it all on the taxpayer.
Well, the Treasury Department begs to differ. A spokesman there says that you've overlooked the basic fact that the global economy was on the brink of collapse. There were only hours in which to make critical decisions. And that pretty closely parallels what Treasury Secretary Geithner defended the bailout with when he was before Congress earlier this year. Here's how he put it back in January. He said he engineered this deal to prevent the utter collapse of the U.S. economy.
We acted because the consequences of AIG failing would have been catastrophic for our economy and for American families and businesses.
So, Professor Warren, what about that?
Well, no one overlooked it. The panel and the staff that worked through literally tens of thousands of documents was entirely cognizant of the problems that were facing the economy at that point. What we're really trying to push on is the notion that if the Federal Reserve had taken a closer look at what was happening with AIG earlier, and if it had explored alternative options, we might not have been in the position of a 100% bailout.
What about what Treasury is saying, that that's easy to say now, and that we've learned from this experience that the Obama administration has had more than a year now to give the government authority to put firms like AIG out of existence? Would you agree with that, that they've tried to come up with a way of reversing this moral hazard?
Absolutely. I think that our report comes in the context of a large national debate on the question of regulatory reform. And by giving a detailed and careful view of what happened in the AIG crisis, we hope it is helpful to those who are working through the regulatory reform bill right now. And I should add one more. You know, someday, whether it's 60 days from now or 60 years from now, there will be another Federal Reserve, another Treasury Department that will face a crisis of this magnitude. There's a real advantage to looking through what happened in the AIG circumstances and pointing out options that were available, so that maybe the people who face that crisis will keep those options in mind.
Elizabeth Warren chairs the Congressional Oversight Panel. Thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
And let's do the numbers on the overseas markets. The bright spot is Paris, where the CAC 40 has bounced more than 1%. Frankfurt's DAX is 0.5% higher. London's FTSE is up 0.25%. But BP's slide continues. The oil giant stock is down another 4% after yesterday's 16% plunge in BP shares traded on the New York Stock Exchange. The company's value hasn't been this low in 14 years. Analysts blame fears the stock's dividend might be threatened by the big leak in the Gulf. BP's woes weighed on other oil stocks, which pulled the Dow lower by 41 points to 9,899.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
The largest hospital walkout in U.S. history is set for this morning in Minnesota. 12,000 nurses are planning to strike for a single day in a challenge to the way hospitals are run. As Marketplace's Jeff Horwich reports, it's a movement that could be going national.
Twin Cities nurses are striking over an idea imported from California. They want strict nurse-to-patient ratios. Minnesota already has some of the lowest ratios and best health outcomes in the country. But John Nemo of the Minnesota Nurses Association says nurses are overworked and distracted, and that's dangerous.
Our nurses want more ability and more power to decide how to staff the floors and how to care for the patients.
Their employers, the hospitals, say the arguments over patient safety are window dressing for more mundane contract battles. And hospital spokeswoman Maureen Schreiner says strict staffing ratios will do more harm than good.
Hospitals need to be nimble and flexible, and everything that the union is proposing is from a bygone era.
Schreiner says relations with nurses have deteriorated since Minnesota, California, and Massachusetts nurses' unions merged to form a so-called super union in December. The union now covers 20 states and has made overworked nurses its signature issue. In St. Paul, I'm Jeff Horwich for Marketplace.
And finally this morning, let's try a little experiment. Can you fill in the blank here?
Bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my to the levee.
Now, I'm no branding expert, but I'm just saying, when you've got a nickname that people think of subconsciously, is that something you might want to think twice about throwing away? The New York Times got a hold of an internal memo from that carmaker with the three-syllable name urging employees at its Detroit headquarters to stop using its two-syllable nickname. So I'm leaving out the name we all know here just to make the point. Is this for real? The Times notes the carmaker is still using the nickname all over its website, and a spokesman at General Motors confirms this supposed change is linked to the company's new advertising agency. So now that I've avoided using that well-known name, could this be actually a well-floated publicity ploy? I'm just saying. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.